Pro-Life to the Max is produced and broadcast by WOMB 89.9 FM Catholic Radio in Bloomington, Indiana.
Ave Maria, welcome to Pro-Life to the Max, a weekly half-hour radio program under the patronage of St. Maximilian Mary Kolbe that is dedicated to keeping you informed on local, state, and national pro-life issues and efforts and inspiring you to get involved. I'm Monica Siefker, your host for the program, so very happy to have you joining me today in this month that is dedicated to the Most Holy Rosary. And not only that, in October every year, the Catholic Church in the United States celebrates Respect Life Month. The USCCB's website has a plethora of suggestions and resources for how to do exactly this in our own homes and parishes. And the site also has the 2021 Bishop's Statement for Respect Life Month, given by the Most Reverend Joseph Naumann, Chairman of the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops Committee on Pro-Life Activities. Here's what the good Archbishop had to say. The month of October brings with it our annual observance of Respect Life Month. As part of the year of St. Joseph declared by Pope Francis, this year's celebration highlights the example of that great saint. As the faithful protector of both Jesus and Mary, we find in St. Joseph a profound reminder of our own call to welcome, safeguard, and defend God's precious gift of human life. Despite the mysterious circumstances surrounding Mary's pregnancy, St. Joseph took her into his home at the word of the angel. He guided their journey to Bethlehem, found shelter, and welcomed the infant Jesus as his son. When Herod threatened the life of the Christ child, St. Joseph left his homeland behind and fled with Jesus and Mary to Egypt. Like St. Joseph, we are also called to care for those God has entrusted to us, especially vulnerable mothers and children. We can follow in the footsteps of St. Joseph as protector by advocating against taxpayer-funded abortion, which targets the lives of millions of poor children and their mothers here in the United States. We can imitate his care and provision by helping to start walking with moms in need at our parishes, walking in the shoes of mothers experiencing a difficult pregnancy, especially low-income mothers in our communities. At times, we may feel uncertain of our ability to answer the Lord's call, but He invites us to faithfully respond despite our own fears or weaknesses. My grace is sufficient for you, for power is made perfect in weakness. May we imitate St. Joseph's faithful trust and courage as we work to uphold the dignity of every human life. St. Joseph, defender of life, pray for us. Some simple yet very beautiful words there from Archbishop Naumann, and we thank God for his and the many other bishops' public witness to the cause of life. Let's pray together now for an end to the horrific killing of the unborn and for a building up of a culture of life by invoking the guardian angels. Dear guardian angels of the unborn, you angels of peace who have been sent by Almighty God to ward off any evils which might befall all newly conceived children, we implore your help for the protection of the most vulnerable among us, the children in the womb. As you watch over these precious souls who have been created in the image and likeness of God, we unite our prayers of thanksgiving and praise with yours, thanking our Heavenly Father for the gift of their lives. We weep at the thought of so many unborn children who are not only denied the right to life, but who are also denied the possibility of being baptized. How you desire that these unborn souls who have been entrusted to your care be brought to birth so that you can begin to guide and instruct them in the faith. We too fervently wish to see the day when abortion is ended, and so we turn to you, O angels of God, to help us. We entrust to you, sweet heavenly spirits, all of the unborn children who are in danger of being aborted this day. We ask for divine intervention on their behalf so that each one of them may be spared from the violence of abortion. Jesus told us, "See that you do not despise one of these little ones, for I say to you that their angels in heaven continually see the face of my Father who is in heaven." Through your powerful intercession and protection, may the day come quickly when our Lord's words are heeded by all people on the face of the earth. Amen. And let's go now to this week's In the News. The Charlotte Lozier Institute is calling attention to a new study from the University of Virginia that suggests that unborn babies begin developing their personality in the womb. The study, published in the journal Frontiers in Psychiatry, found that some behavioral and personality traits like sadness, laughter, fear, cuddliness, soothability, and perceptual sensitivity are already hardwired into a newborn baby's brain. Scientists use brain imaging to study different parts of the cerebrum at birth and again at 2 weeks of age. The researchers noticed that unique brain connections were already present at birth, meaning that they were set into motion while the baby was still in the womb. The Charlotte Lozier Institute highlighted how the study confirms the uniqueness and innate value of human unborn life, which is deserving of respect and protection. And this past Thursday, Pope Francis yet again spoke out forcibly against abortion to a group of medical professionals gathered at the Vatican for an Italian medical conference. "I have been very clear," the Holy Father stated, "that abortion is homicide." Francis encouraged the group to keep working to protect all human life, especially the unborn. He also urged pharmacists and doctors to reject any, quote, "medicinal products that may turn into poison," close quote, and to always remain at the service of human life, which, he said, in certain cases could lead them to have to make conscientious objections to prescribing certain medicines and performing certain procedures. An incident during this fall's 40 Days for Life campaign at the 8590 Georgetown Road Planned Parenthood in Indianapolis has left that facility's prayer presence at a halt. On Sunday, October 11th, a man approached a small group of people who were praying there and told them that they were about to die. The man proceeded to walk onto Planned Parenthood's property, and a few minutes later, one of the prayer volunteers noticed that he had a gun. The prayer group quickly boarded a van and left the area. The police were notified of the deadly threat, and attempts are being made to find the perpetrator. In the meantime, Indianapolis 40 Days for Life participants are being asked to pray from home. 2021 has been a violent year in Indy, not only with feticides, but with all other homicides as well, as people look to fighting and bloodshed to solve their problems. And finally, after 2 weeks of no abortions being performed at the Bloomington Planned Parenthood, 13 innocent unborn children lost their lives this past Thursday at 421 South College Avenue. 40 Days for Life is still going strong here in Bloomington, and as usual, lots of help is needed this weekend to cover the abortion facility in prayer for 12 hours every day. You can go to 40daysforlife.com/Bloomington to see which hours still need filled. And that's your weekly in the news. We live in a culture of death. I'm sure that's not news to you. But because the killing is so pervasive, there can be a tendency for us to become numb to it. But we mustn't. It's good for us from time to time to think about the number of unborn children who are murdered within the wombs of their own mothers every year right here in our land. Abortion is the leading cause of death in our country and throughout the world by far. Recently, the Charlotte Lozier Institute put out a report on abortion trends and numbers for the past few years, and overall, it doesn't look good. I want to run through some of those findings. First of all, we need to know that states set their own reporting standards. There are three states that collect no abortion data at all, while others collect limited statistics. States then voluntarily share this information with the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, or the CDC, for inclusion in an annual abortion surveillance report. These reports are generally published 2 years after the data collection. Of course, since not all states report abortions, and because the data varies from state to state, CDC numbers are well below any other independent estimates that are out there from organizations like the pro-abortion Guttmacher Institute. Still, the Charlotte Lozier Institute argues these CDC reports do give us a sufficient glimpse of abortion trends in recent years. Now, starting in 2018, there was a noted rise in the abortion rate here in the U.S. after years of decline. As I just mentioned, since it takes about 2 years after the data collection for the CDC to release a report, the official 2019 account has still not been released. The Charlotte Lozier Institute, however, says that there is enough data available to glean some information. As of September 1, 2021, 39 states have released abortion statistics for 2019. 17 of these states reported a decline in abortion numbers from 2018, while 21 states reported that abortion numbers increased. In the 38 states that reported for both 2018 and 2019, abortions increased by 2.3%. This was the second year in a row that state data showed an increase in abortions. As in 2018, states that tend to be permissive of abortion reported larger increases than states that are more protective. In the 12 permissive states that released 2018 and 2019 abortion statistics, abortions increased by 3%, while in the 26 protective states, abortions increased by 2%. The largest percentage decreases were seen in Missouri and West Virginia, very possibly impacted by pro-life policies there. And the largest percentage increase was reported in Iowa, where abortions rose by over 25%. Now, the reason for that huge jump is probably the result of a rebound after an abrupt drop of abortion numbers in 2018, following the closure of several abortion centers in late 2017 and in early 2018 there in Iowa. Delaware and Idaho likewise reported large increases. The Charlotte Lozier Institute makes note that because some of the states with the greatest percentage changes are low-volume abortion states, the overall change in abortions in the U.S. between 2018 and 2019 was driven by some of the larger states. Illinois reported an increase of over 4,000 abortions in 2019, while Georgia and Texas also had increases of more than 2,000 in each state. Here in Indiana, our state was among those who saw a decrease in abortion numbers in 2019, where reported abortion numbers were down by about 400, a 5% decrease from the year before. Now, amidst all of these abortion numbers and data, there is the trend of chemical abortions comprising a greater part of abortions. That means that there will certainly be even worse data collection because many state health departments are unable to track abortion pills that are sent from outside the state. So any abortion numbers that are released are going to tend to be lower than the number that are actually occurring. So that's what it's looking like for 2019. Data for 2020 is even more incomplete, but things are not looking any better. Initial available 2020 reporting suggests that the COVID-19 pandemic accelerated the trends noted in 2018 and 2019. So far, overall, abortions in the states that have reported 2020 data to the CDC have increased by 2.3%. Here in Indiana, there were 120 more abortions committed in 2020 over 2019 for an increase of 1.5%. This increase was largely driven by chemical abortions, and it is very likely that this pattern will continue on here in 2021 and in 2022 as mail order abortion pills become even easier to obtain as the FDA relaxes its regulations. It's also very likely that many of these mail order abortions will go unreported, and thus the numbers will again, in reality, be even higher. Now, you would think that these increases in abortion numbers over the past few years might prompt legislators at both the state and federal levels to not be as concerned about passing any pro-abortion legislation. After all, it used to be said by those who support abortion that it should be safe, legal, and rare. Well, of course, we know that this is no longer the case for a large swath of abortion advocates who simply have no problem whatsoever with these increasing abortion numbers. And they will not rest until abortion on demand is imposed on every state. As an example of just how serious they are about making abortion more common and more available, on September 24th, the U.S. House of Representatives passed the Women's Health Protection Act, or H.R. 3755. The bill makes abortion legal nationwide at any stage of pregnancy through federal statute. The law also eliminates pro-life laws at every level of government, compels all Americans to support abortions both within their own country and abroad with their taxpayer dollars, and forces employers and insurers to cover or pay for abortion. The bill would also likely force healthcare workers to perform, assist in, and/or refer for abortion against their consciences. There is enormous pressure being placed upon the Senate right now to bring this bill to a vote and get it passed. There are mounting fears among abortion supporters in response to the Texas Heartbeat Bill and the upcoming U.S. Supreme Court case, Dobbs versus Jackson Women's Health. so they feel like HR 3755 is needed. You might have heard that back on the Feast of the Guardian Angels, October 2nd, there were rallies for abortion justice held throughout the country, demanding that the Senate pass this House-approved legislation so that abortion would become a right under federal law. Fortunately, there are two Senate Democrats, Joe Manchin of West Virginia and Bob Casey of Pennsylvania, who oppose the bill. Also, Senator Susan Collins of Maine, a pro-choice Republican who normally votes in favor of abortion rights, is saying that she opposes the bill because it is too extreme. Archbishop Joseph Nauman made this announcement about the Women's Health Protection Act. "This deceptively named bill is the most extreme pro-abortion bill our nation has ever seen. H.R. 3755 is not about the health of women, but only about eliminating any and all protections for unborn children, including baby girls. It would lead to the deliberate destruction of millions of unborn lives, leaving countless women with physical, emotional, and spiritual scars. This bill assumes that abortion can be the only or best solution to a crisis pregnancy. H.R. 3755 is built on a false and despairing narrative that utterly fails women. In treating abortion as the moral equivalent to the removal of an appendix, this proposal is radically out of step with the American public. As a nation built on the recognition that every human being is endowed by its Creator with the unalienable rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, this bill is a complete injustice. Congress should embrace public policy that respects the rights of mothers, their children, and the consciences of all Americans, not advance a radical abortion on demand until birth policy that is completely out of step with our country's principles." Yeah, with abortion numbers already increasing, this bill would do nothing but propel those numbers even higher. How many more unborn children would be murdered if such an act became the law of the land, not to mention the numerous other victims, the moms and dads and other family members left traumatized from the act of having killed their own unborn child? So while we do not have the definitive national abortion numbers from 2019 and 2020, we do have enough data to say that the violence against unborn children in the womb has sadly increased. So it shouldn't come as a surprise to us to learn that the year 2020 also saw the largest one-year increase in murder outside the womb in the history of the U.S. The swelling blood of the slain, innocent unborn that flows underneath our sidewalks and streets and the sewer systems now joins the escalating blood that is poured forth from the murders that are occurring on the very sidewalks and streets themselves. According to the FBI's annual crime report, the nationwide murder rate was up nearly 29% in 2020, the largest rise since the start of national record keeping in 1960. And right now, so far in 2021, the murder rate in our largest cities is almost 10% higher than it was during the same period last year. According to the FBI, the number of murders jumped by 4,900 from 2019 to a total of 21,500 in 2020. As terrible as that figure is, it's still dwarfed by the number of unborn children murdered last year through abortion, which is probably around 1 million. New York City, the nation's abortion capital, saw one of the highest murder rate increases. Nothing surprising there. On Friday, October 1st, the Feast of St. Therese, the Indianapolis Metropolitan Police Department investigated its 200th homicide of this year after a shooting left one dead and another injured in the Circle City. Journalists note how shootings are becoming all too familiar for Indianapolis residents, as more people are being shot in the city than ever before. This 200th homicide of 2021 comes almost a month ahead of that mark last year, which happened near the end of October. Metro Police had investigated 215 criminal homicides in 2020, an increase of nearly 39% from 2019. Plus, the number of homicides has doubled over the last decade, starting in 2020, when criminal homicides soared from 96 that year to 125 in 2013. The number of homicides continued to climb in the years that followed, with nearly every year being a record-breaking one. To add more horror to this picture, from about 10:30 p.m. this past October 6th until just after midnight on the 7th, four people in Indy were killed in three fatal shootings in less than 2 hours. Each one of these people killed represents a human being made in the image and likeness of God, who, even if they were not innocent, did not deserve to have their life taken from them so violently by another human being who was playing God. And again, sadly, these murder numbers are dwarfed by the number of innocent unborn children who are murdered in Indianapolis by abortion every year, which numbers not in the low hundreds, but in the thousands. If you've ever seen the fabulous 1959 movie Ben-Hur with Charlton Heston and Jack Hawkins, and if you haven't seen it, I encourage you to watch it sometime, you'll know that there is a poignant scene about how violence only spawns more violence. The movie itself is about a Jewish prince who is betrayed and sent into slavery by a Roman friend in first century Jerusalem, right at the time when the Messiah has come into the world. Well, this prince, named Judah Ben-Hur, survives the galleys and comes back for revenge and blood. There's a conversation about Judah's desire for reprisal that occurs between him and Esther, the woman that he loves and hopes to one day marry. And it is here that Esther gives one of the most truthful, sorrowful, and poetic declarations on the nature of violence. She says, "I know there is a law in life, that blood gets more blood as dog begets dog. Death generates death as the vulture breeds the vulture." And we are seeing this law play out fully in the world around us. Esther gave Judah the answer, for she had heard a voice speaking on the hill, delivering his Sermon on the Mount. That voice, that sermon, is the only antidote that we have for a culture of death. Unless there are conversions, unless people repent and turn fully to Jesus Christ, we can only expect the violence to escalate. And we can also expect that some who are working and praying to help end abortion and build up a culture of life will likewise become increased targets of violence and the culture of death. Jesus says in John chapter 15, "If the world hates you, realize that it hated me first. If you belong to the world would love its own. But because you do not belong to the world, and I have chosen you out of the world hates you. Remember the word I spoke to you. No slave is greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you." Well, as one recent example of this, staff members of Texas Right to Life faced death threats and intense harassments after the passage of their state's heartbeat bill. They've been swamped with hate mail, vitriolic messages, calls for their damnation in hell. They've been sent nude photos and other obscenities. One woman left a voice message saying that she hopes the employees of Texas Right to Life all get hit by a car. And an email sent by someone gave a link to an instructional page on how to tie a noose. "Please follow the instructions, procure a noose, stick your neck in the hole, and then let your body dangle by the neck. I do hope you get your due soon, scum of the earth," the email read. Texas Right to Life is claiming that Planned Parenthood disclosed sensitive information, either carelessly or purposefully, that resulted in staffers' names and addresses being made public. In the wake of the disclosure, many Texas Right to Life employees faced these physical and verbal threats on their own personal phones and email accounts. Some instigators even told the staff, "We know where you live." Death generates death as the vulture breeds the vulture. You may have also heard how a small group of pro-abortion protesters showed up at the home of Supreme Court Justice Brett Kavanaugh after the Supreme Court decided not to stop the Texas heartbeat law from taking effect. The group invaded the quiet little neighborhood where Kavanaugh lived and called upon him to resign as they discussed their own abortion stories amid their growing fears that Roe v. Wade will be overturned. One speaker said, "There are no bad abortions because the right to pick and choose how to plan your family is a human right. Abortion is responsible," she said. But abortion supporters so often fail to say that this picking and choosing involves the intentional killing of another human being. Here in Bloomington, though, I've often found abortion supporters to be much more honest. During this past life chain, one of the participants was holding a sign that read, "Abortion kills children." He said that he got a lot of comments on it, including things like, "Well, yeah, that's the point," and "We want him to die." I hear these very same sentiments more and more from especially young people as they drive by the Bloomington Planned Parenthood. It's not uncommon to hear something like, "Yay, kill the babies," being shouted. I think here in our town and throughout the country, there is this shocking development going on that is leading our youth to embrace this enthusiasm for killing unborn children. Recently at a Catholic conference in Pittsburgh, former Planned Parenthood facility director Abby Johnson explained this very idea of how the abortion industry is sinking to new lows in its callous disregard for the gift of life. Abby said, "When abortion was legalized, it was not seen as it is today. Women weren't up on the podium shouting their abortion. Women were not proud of the fact that they had killed their children," Abby said. "I saw a woman the other day wearing a shirt that said, 'I've had 21 abortions.' And you say, 'Abby, there's no way.' But the fact is, we had women that came into my clinic all the time that had 16, 17, 20 abortions. The bottom line is that in today's society, women are using abortion as a form of birth control," said Abby. "This is not how it was first sold to the American public. It was instead promoted as something that would solve the ails of society, like poverty, crime, and domestic violence. But from 1972, before Roe, until today, we actually see a dramatic increase in those rates," she said. "Abortion actually compounded the problems that women and families were having. Why? Because it's just another form of abuse. It's a form of dehumanization. If you're willing to kill the most innocent, the most vulnerable of your society, then you're willing to abuse and kill anyone else. It actually was not the solution that they promised it was going to be. It's incredibly diabolical. As recently as the first term of Barack Obama's presidency, abortion was still being sold as something that needed to be safe, legal, and rare," Abby said. "I even believed it. I mean, that was one of the reasons I got involved in Planned Parenthood." Now, she said, it's not about preventing abortion at all. It's about access to abortion at any and all cost. Blood gets more blood as dog begets dog. Death generates death as the vulture breeds the vulture. In this month, when our bishops here in the U.S. are summoning us to renew our commitment to cherish, defend, and protect the lives of the most vulnerable among us, especially the children in the womb, let us take their call to heart and up our game, because certainly the other side has upped theirs. Let us begin by picking up our rosaries, pondering the mysteries, and asking Our Lady what she desires from us. Thanks so much for joining me. Until next time, let us heed the warning of St. Maximilian Mary Kolbe that the most deadly poison of our time is indifference. Let's pray for one another that we may be consumed with a desire to save lives and souls, to give the greatest possible honor and glory to God. Ave Maria.
Thank you for listening to Pro-Life to the Max, a production of WOMB Catholic Radio. To learn more about this program and how you can help us to continue to produce and broadcast this content, visit us online at WOMBradio.com.